This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page. Inshallah ta'ala, today we're on page 146, which is in Surah Al-An'am, the 8th juz of the Qur'an. In the previous episode, we mentioned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking to the disbelievers and speaking to those people from amongst the jinn and the humans who denied the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they committed shirk, how Allah azza wa jal told them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress anyone and He's not unjust to anyone, and that Allah azza wa jal rather is full of mercy and kindness, and that He is free of all needs. That Allah azza wa jal makes clear to people the path of Tawheed, tells them the way that they can find guidance, gives to them reminders, and gives to them warnings that they may heed through the prophets and messengers and the revelations that Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent to the humans and the jinn. But those people turn away and they turn to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spoke about how Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us that the dunya and its reality is that it is a temporary stopping place before you go to the permanent abode of the hereafter. But from the traps of shaitan, and from the deceptions of the dunya, is that it makes people think that this life is the be-all and end-all. And so we rarely think about the akhirah, or we think about it on the occasional, you know, on the odd occasion, rather than focusing on the akhirah and doing what we can in the dunya in order to build our akhirah and build our reward for that life of permanency on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that those people who reject and turn away from this reality, tell them to continue doing what they're doing then. Carry on your way if you don't believe, if you refuse to accept, you can't force you. Do as you're going to do, but you will soon come to know the reality of the issue, and that the disbelievers are those who will suffer the greatest of loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned to us a number of examples of how that denial of Allah's worship, that rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leads to a corruption of thought and logic. And how people do the craziest of things, or seemingly the craziest of things and the most abhorrent of deeds, and they ascribe them to Allah, or they ascribe them to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or some type of religious practice. And Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to us a number of examples of this in the previous episode. From those examples, as we mentioned, is that the Arabs, what they would do is that they would apportion their agricultural produce and some of their livestock that they wanted to give as an offering to their gods. So some of it they eat from and benefit from, other parts of it they sell and they trade with, but a portion of it they would give as an offering to their gods, to Allah Azza wa Jal, and to the idols that they had as well. And even though they believed in the supremacy of Allah Azza wa Jal and His power and His might subhanahu wa ta'ala above and over all of those other gods, they would give to Allah the lesser of the portion, and they would be lax in terms of giving to Allah Azza wa Jal the portion that they themselves had stipulated for Him. Allah didn't allow this. Allah Azza wa Jal didn't sanction this. Allah didn't legislate this. This is their corrupt ideology and religion that they invented for themselves. But when it came to Allah Azza wa Jal, they would give Him the less portion. But to their idols, they would give them more, or they would make sure that at the very least they have the exact portion that they had determined for them. And that is from the evil ways that they will think and that they will judge. From the evil that they also did is that they would consider certain practices to be good or to be acceptable, to be the norm in their culture and their society, despite its abhorrent nature. And from the worst of them is that they would kill their own children by their own hands, whether it's burying them alive because they bring shame to the family and to the tribe, or whether it's killing them out of fear of poverty, that child is another mouth to feed, that it will impoverish us further, we can't support them, so therefore we kill them. These types of things that they used to do, and they would consider them to be good practices or acceptable practices or the norm within their societies. And the fact that people would see this happening around them and no one says anything. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us also in the Quran that from the things that will happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah is that that child, that girl that was buried will say, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. When on that day that girl, that child that was buried alive will ask, For which sin was I killed? Which sin did they murder me for? An innocent child that hasn't done anything, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, this is what they would do with them, and this is from the evil of their practices. And it shows you, therefore, the beauty of Islam, that your religion, when you worship Allah, is based upon evidence. It is based upon what Allah wants from you, what the Prophet ﷺ instructed you to do. It is based upon revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when you seek knowledge and you know what that revelation says and what it means, then you worship Allah azza wa jalla with confidence. And you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a level of certainty, as opposed to these practices that come, that have evolved over centuries and decades and have embedded themselves now so strongly that it's very difficult for even the most intelligent of person, the most intelligent person in their field, in their career, in their business. But when it comes to these religious practices, they do things that don't make any sense, that everyone else on the outside looks at and thinks that how on earth can you accept this? But for them, it's become entrenched within them, and so therefore it is difficult for them to distance themselves from it. The verse that we continue with today, verse 138, Allah Azza wa Jalla then continues on the same topic, showing again the corruption of their logic and some of the things that they used to do as a result. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقالوا هذه أنعام وحرث حجر لا يطعمها إلا من نشاء بزعمهم وأنعام حرمت ظهورها وأنعام لا يذكرون اسم الله عليها افتراء عليه سيجزيهم بما كانوا يفترون. They also say, these cattle and crops are reserved, and only those we allow may eat them as they claim. There are some animals they exempt from labor, and some over which they do not pronounce Allah's name during slaughter, falsely attributing these regulations to Allah Azza wa Jal. He will repay them for the falsehoods that they invent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and from their corrupt logic, from their foolishness, is that they would amongst themselves, by themselves, determine what belonged to what, or who, what belonged to whom, and who was allowed to take benefit of what. And there was no logic in this. There was no sense in this. It was simply according to their own desires and to what they had invented in their religion. They would come and they would look at their cattle, for example, the animals that they would have, from the camels and from the sheep and other things, cows and so on. They would look at their cattle and they would say, هَذِهِ أَنْعَامٌ وَحَرْثٌ حِجْرٌ. And they would look at their crops and they would say, these are reserved, meaning that they are haram. It's not open. You can't just come and sacrifice these animals. You can't just take from those crops and benefit from them and eat from them. Harthun hijr. Their hijr means that they are restricted, that they have been made haram, reserved. La yata'amuha illa man nasha'u bizamihim. Only those that we allow may eat from them, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, according to their claim. So they would say that you can't eat from this, but we can. Or so-and-so can't eat from this, but so-and-so can. And this is, by the way, an example only when it comes to these types of issues that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to us, to show that even in these types of issues, which is about food and drink and animals, this is the level of corruption that they had. Otherwise, their corruption went through the whole of their community in many different aspects. So for example, we know that in marriage and divorce, they had a great deal of corruption in terms of who they would allow to get married and how they would allow them to get married and what would happen at the time of a woman, for example, becoming widowed or divorced. They would have, for example, the practices of inheritance where the strong inherit and the weak don't get anything, no matter what their relationship of that weak person may have been to the deceased, in terms of their worship, in terms of the way that they used to make tawaf, in terms of the way that they used to perform their hajj, the way they corrupted the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what they took from some of the rulings of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, some of the rites of hajj, how it was corrupted amongst them. So it's not just on one or two issues, but across the society in many different things, they had corrupted many of the practices that they should have had in terms of their worship and in terms of their dealings. That doesn't mean, by the way, that all that they did was evil. No, they had good in them as well. We know that they were people of courage. We know that they were people of kindness. They were people of generosity amongst them. They were people of good character. They were people of hospitality and so on. They had a great deal of goodness within them as well. But when it came, and as a result of their worship of other than Allah Azza wa Jal and their invention in the religion, they also had a great deal of corruption amongst them. So from that is this, that they would make these arbitrary rules for themselves. And they would say these cattle, these crops, they are reserved and restricted for those whom we want and no one else is allowed to take from them. And likewise, from that corruption also, وَنَعَامٌ حُرِّمَتْ ظُهُورُهَا. And other types of animals that are restricted in one sense or another. So for example, you can't ride them. You can't milk them. You can't use them for labor. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, and we mentioned this already in the previous episode when we made the tafsir of the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَحِيرَةٍ وَلَا سَائِبَةٍ وَلَا وَصِيلَةٍ وَلَا حَامٍ. These were terms that they came up with themselves. Nothing to do with anything except these arbitrary rules that they came up with. And they would say, for example, that this animal, because it gave birth to a female and then a female and a female, or a male and a male and a male, now you can't ride this. This animal is now restricted. It shows that this animal is favored by one of the gods or one of the idols, so therefore it can't be used for labor, can't be used to ride, can't be used to carry anything in, can't be used for anything. Just let it roam free. And they would attach to it more importance and more significance than that child, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the previous verse, that they would kill simply because it was born and it happened to be a female, or simply because the family didn't happen to have a great deal of wealth. And so look at how the level of detail that they would go into on one hand, on crops or animals, cattle, but when it came to human life, when it came to their own child, when it came to an innocent child, a young child, they would act in a different way. And likewise, from the corruption that they had is that they would say other cattle, وَنَعَامٌ لَا يَذْكُرُونَ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا, and other animals that they wouldn't worship, mention the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla on it. They would either worship or sacrifice and slaughter in other than the name of Allah, using the name of one of their other idols and gods, or it would be carrion, it would be an animal that died of its own accord, and they would consider that to be halal, and they would consider that to be permissible to eat. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, iftira'an alayh. And then they would falsely attribute all of this to Allah. This is Allah's religion. Why? Because they believe in Allah, as we said before. Yes, they have all of these different idols that they worship, but they still believed in Allah. And they would say Allah is the one who legislated this. This is how we worship Allah, our Lord, and these other idols as well. So they're attributing this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these are false lies. The religion of Allah azza wa jalla is free from these types of superstitious practices, or from these types of evil practices, such as the killing of children and so on. سَيَجْزِيهِمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ, and that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, He will repay them for the falsehood that they invented. These things that they did, and that they then ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla will hold them to account for it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. In verse 139, Allah Azza wa Jalla then gives us another example, a further example, and He says, وَقَالُوا مَا فِي بُطُونِ هَذِهِ الْأَنْعَامِ خَالِصَةٌ لِذُكُورِنَا وَمُحَرَّمٌ عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَإِنْ يَكُمْ مَيْتَةً فَهُمْ فِيهِ شُرَكَاءَ سَيَجْزِيهِمْ وَصْفَهُمْ إِنَّهُ حَكِيمٌ عَلِيمٌ. They also say the contents of these animals and what is in their wombs will be reserved solely for our men and forbidden to our women. Though if the offspring is stillborn, they may have a share of it. He will punish them for that which they attributed to him. He is all wise, all aware. We know that the Arabs generally used to consider the women folk of their communities, their society, to be of a lower standing. And they would often oppress them in many different ways. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us examples of this in marriage, in divorce, in inheritance, and so on. But from those examples is what Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions here as well. And that is that they would decide what the women could eat or not eat, and how they would live in certain conditions and behave in certain conditions. So they would say, for example, these ما في بطون هذه الأنعام خالصة لذكورنا ومحرم على أزواجنا, meaning that this animal that is now pregnant is going to give birth, and it's going to give birth to a baby animal. That animal, if it is born alive, then only the men from amongst us may consume it. Only the men from amongst us may slaughter it and eat from it. As for the women, it is something which is haram for them. They can't consume from it, they can't eat from it. So that baby lamb, for example, or that baby calf, for example, they can't eat from it, they can't benefit from it. وَإِيَّكُمْ مَيْتَ, but if it comes out stillborn, it's dead, comes out as a stillborn, فَهُمْ فِيهِ شُرَكَاء, then all of us can eat it. The men and the women, we are equal in this. So they're giving to themselves that which is preferential, and they're giving to their women folk that which is less. And they had practices like this in many different ways as well. For example, with the women, would be on their monthly cycles, the way that they would treat them, the way that they would distance them, the way that they would make them sleep in a certain place and do certain things. Or the way, for example, if one of them became a widow, or she's in her iddah, she's in her waiting period, all of those different types of things that were from the practices of the Jahili Arabs. And you will find this, and that is why some of the scholars wrote books on this topic. And they called it, for example, Masail al-Jahiliyyah, the things that the Jahilis did that Islam came to change the practice. And there are hundreds of them. It's not just a few here or there. They had so many practices that were embedded throughout the society and within their communities. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, سَيَجْزِيهِمْ وَصْفَهُمْ. He will punish them for that which they attributed to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all of this they're saying is the origin of Allah. All of this they are saying is what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants from you. Like, for example, when they're making the Hajj and they're saying that you have to make tawaf naked, they would describe that to Allah as being the way that Allah wants you to perform tawaf around His house. إِنَّهُ حَكِيمٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says concerning Himself, He is all wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all knowledgeable, all knowing, all aware of that which they do. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse 140, speaking about the evil of these people and what it will result in, قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ قَتَلُوا أَوْلَادَهُمْ سَفَهًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَحَرَّمُوا مَا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ افْتِرَاءً عَلَى اللَّهِ قَدْ ضَلُّوا وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. Lost indeed are those who kill their own children out of folly, with no basis in knowledge, forbidding what Allah has provided for them. Fabricating lies against Him, they have gone far astray and have heeded no guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these people are in loss. Those who think that they can kill their own children and it's something which will be pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these practices that they have, whether it's killing their own children or the way that they would apportion their crops and their cattle or these rules that they would make up for themselves and invent and ascribe to Allah Azza wa Jal as lies, Allah Azza wa Jal says concerning them, سَفَهَمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. It is folly with no basis in knowledge. And that is why it is important for the Muslim to ensure that when they worship Allah as a Muslim, in accordance with the rulings of Islam, that it is based upon knowledge. Because there are unfortunately many Muslims who their practices of Islam or some of the practices that they've invented into Islam is also safaham bighayri ilm. It is also folly that is based upon no knowledge. Some of the shirk that takes place and some of the innovations that you find amongst the Muslim ummah, this is exactly the basis of that as well. No knowledge, but it's just something which they invented or people invented for themselves, and then it becomes accepted by the people in the communities, in the cultures, and it therefore spreads. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَحَرَّمُوا مَا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ. And they made haram that which Allah had made halal. From the rizq of Allah that Allah made halal for everyone, they restricted it to certain people and to certain segments of their society. افْتِرَاءً عَلَى اللَّهِ. All of this then they ascribe to Allah Azza wa Jalla falsely. All of this, they said that Allah is the one who wants this, or Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who legislated this. And that is the worst type of evil that a person can do. Shirk, changing the laws of Allah, innovations in the religion of Allah, all of these are ascribing to Allah Azza wa Jalla lies, or ascribing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala things without knowledge. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has made clear His religion. The Quran tells you what Allah wants and doesn't want, what Allah is pleased with, what is not pleased with. And the Prophet ﷺ is the living embodiment of that Sharia. He practically showed to us how to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, how to live, the character that we should possess, how to deal with others, the relationships that we should have, and how we should behave in them. He showed us on a daily basis how to do this. So therefore the believer doesn't need anything beyond the statements of or the Quran of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the understanding of those early generations of Muslims and those who followed them in righteousness, the companions and their students and the great imams of Islam, because they understood those texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. Otherwise, you are simply ascribing lies to Allah. Otherwise, you're worshipping Allah according to your whims and desires. Otherwise, you're inventing things into the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, just as these Arabs used to do in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قَدْ ضَلُّوا وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. And if you do this, then you have gone astray and you have not heeded the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as these people did also. In the final verse that we will take today, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse 141,
وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنشَأَ جَنَّاتٍ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ وَغَيْرَ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ وَالنَّخْلَ وَالزَّرْعَ والنخل والزرع مختلفا أكله والزيتون والرمان متشابها وغير متشابه كلوا من ثمره إذا أثمر وآتوا حقه يوم حصاده ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين.
It is He who produces both trellised and untrellised gardens, date palms, crops of diverse flavors, the olive, the pomegranate, alike yet different.
So when they bear fruit, eat some of it, paying what is due on the day of harvest, but do not be wasteful, for Allah does not love those who are wasteful people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning the practices of the mushrikeen and how they would apportion their crops and their cattle in the way that they used to do according to their own desires, and in the way that they invented lies against Allah Azza wa Jalla, or invented lies about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla now in this verse 141 speaks about the blessing that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave when He allowed people to have crops, and He allowed people to have fruits, and He allowed people to have vegetation that they would benefit from. How it is from the greatest of Allah's blessings, and therefore it should be used in accordance to that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has legislated. It should be eaten and given in charity in the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordained, and not according to a person's whims or desires, or according to the innovations that they themselves have invented. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, speaking and reminding us of His blessings therefore in this regard, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ جَنَّاتٍ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ وَغَيْرَ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us produce from both trellised and untrellised gardens. Trellised and untrellised gardens meaning that there are certain things that when they grow on trees. They grow with trellises, they shoot up from the ground into a tree or into a long trunk, and from it comes branches, and from that you get your fruit and the things that you benefit from. You look at, for example, the apples, look at, for example, bananas, oranges. This is the way that they grow. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made them grow in that way. وَغَيْرَ مَعْرُوشَاتِ. And then there are other things that you benefit from that grow without trellises, meaning they don't have trunks, they don't grow high into the sky and branches, but they grow close to the ground. Like, for example, pumpkins, like, for example, strawberries, certain fruits and certain things that you benefit from, Allah Azza wa Jalla, from His blessing subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from the hikmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and from the beauty of His creation subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made both types. And this is all from the beauty of Allah's creation, that if you were to look at this and you were to ponder upon this, you would see the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla's beauty in His creation, Jalla fi'ula. And not only that, but then Allah Azza wa Jalla specifies and He says, وَالنَّخْلَ وَالزَّرْعَ مُخْتَلِفًا أُكُلُهُ. And there are many different types of date palms and crops of diverse types of flavors. Look at how many crops that you have, from rice to barley to wheat, from the different types of dates that you can grow, and the different types of dates that you will find, for those of you that have been to those countries where they produce dates, and you go into a date shop, for example, if you go to Mecca or Medina or one of those places, and you find within them so many varieties of dates. They have so many different types of colors and textures and flavors and different levels of softness or hardness. And then there are different stages of ripeness in the date that are also sold and eaten and consumed. All of that in a single species, or a single, if you like, fruit, and that is the date. Let alone all the other crops that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives, let alone all of the other trees that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to benefit from in terms of the fruit that comes from it, and all of the other vegetation that we can grow. All of this is the sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from those crops that Allah allows us to grow was zaytuna wa rumman, the olive and the pomegranate. The olive with all of its beauty and all of its pureness and all of the benefits that we take from it. And the pomegranate that is used as a fruit in the way that it is grown. Look at, subhanAllah, the different fruits. Some that have a skin that you can consume, and others that have a skin that you can't consume. Some of them, like the pomegranate, is small seeds within that fruit, and others are not like that. Every single one of them Allah Azza wa Jalla has made distinct. Even the berries, from the strawberry to the blackberry to the blueberry to the gooseberry, to all of these different types of berries that you have, that you consume. And all of them so similar yet so different. Similar in color yet different in texture. Or similar in texture yet different in color. Or similar in texture and color but different in flavor. That is from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing this, mutashabihun wa ghayra mutashabih, alike yet different. Even within a single family tree, if you like, of, for example, the apple, how many different varieties of apples are there? How many different varieties of bananas are there? Of oranges are there? How many different types of melons are there? Of berries are there? And you go and you benefit from each one, and you take from each one, and you eat from each one, and that is all from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that this is from His blessings upon you. Kulu min thamari. So eat from the fruit when it bears fruit. Allah Azza wa Jalla has allowed for you to consume from it, from to benefit from it, to eat from it, and it is from the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us, especially in our time today, when it is so easy for us to access and to buy and to enjoy that fruit for the most part, as opposed to, and irrespective of the season, often as is often the case. Unlike in previous times, when people would only be able to have the fruit that grew close to them, and only at the time then, when it grew in that season that it grows in, and people didn't have access to anything else. In fact, I remember some of our teachers or the teachers of our teachers saying that they remember the first time they saw an apple. Like for example, in Saudi Arabia and in some of those countries where people didn't have apples, they don't grow there, it's not a common fruit. And then it was started to be imported. The first time they saw an apple or the first time they saw a fruit that before they hadn't seen before. And that is the way that Allah Azza wa Jal has made this. And there are so many fruits that still many of us are not exposed to. If you were to go to different countries in Africa, in the Far East, in different parts of the world, they will have fruits that you don't eat, that you have, it's not common amongst you, even though they may be available. It's not something which you eat, it's not something which you're accustomed to. You go to places like Malaysia and they have the durian fruit. The durian fruit is a fruit that is very, very common to them, but it's not very common to us. You go to other places and they have things like the dragon fruit. Again, not very common to us in many places in the West, but very common in certain countries. And that is all from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eat from that which Allah has provided to you. وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ. And also give its due on the day of harvest. And that is the zakat that is due in the day of harvest, as we know in the books of zakat. And that is because the zakat, because usually when you give zakat, there is a hawl, there is a time where you give it once in the lunar year, that is when you pay the zakat. And you have a set date. For example, in Ramadan, you have a set date and that's when you give your zakat. But when it comes to crops and to fruit, you give it on the day of harvest because crops and fruits don't work in that way. It's not like money, for example, or they're not as stable as, for example, livestock. So therefore, you give the zakat of those crops on the day of harvest. That is what Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us here. يَوْمَ حَصَادِ وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. And do not be wasteful, for indeed Allah Azza wa Jalla does not like those who are wasteful. Do not be wasteful in terms of eating. Do not be wasteful in terms of spending. Do not be wasteful in terms of any of those issues, because Allah Azza wa Jalla does not love those people who waste and who don't appreciate and show gratitude for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we will come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.